So as I said this morning, we're going to do things a little differently this morning. I've invited three of our mothers in the church to share different aspects of motherhood. And so Rebecca, would you come up first? And I'm going to pray before we begin. So Lord, we do thank you that we have a day when we can celebrate, honor, and appreciate our mothers. And I pray, Lord, that as these moms come up and share this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the words to say. But Lord, I pray that we'd be challenged. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in our midst this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. So my name is Rebecca, and I have five kids ranging from 9 to 1. And my current one, almost 2-year-old's favorite pastime is to play with toilet bowl water. So, I mean, parenting is crazy, but mothering is just wild. And so if I don't catch my daughter, then she'll come and find me with this happy, proud expression on her face that she's done something amazing. And she's wet, and she's wet all the way up to her armpits. Her hair is wet. And all I can think is, I hope your brother flushed. And so, you know, I didn't know what mothering was going to be like when before, obviously, I had children. But I've always wanted to be a mom. And so when I was about 9, I remember going up to my mom and saying, Mom, I just really want a baby. Because, you know, all I knew was babies were cute and cuddly, and they looked at you like you were the best thing in the world. And she looked at me, and she said the wisest thing she could have in the moment. She said, go work in the church nursery. And that was good advice. I got a little bit a clearer foreshadowing of what parenting was like when I started babysitting. So I was 13 when I got my first babysitting gig, and nothing prepared me for that. I was standing in a bathroom holding a towel trying to convince this naked 4-year-old boy to come out of the bath, and he's screaming that he's cold, and I'm thinking, I have the solution. Come here. And the only thing that got me through that night was the knowledge that I was about to go home to a peaceful place with money in my pocket. And the thing is, that exact scenario has happened to me as a mom, but I don't get to go home to a quiet home and no money in my pocket. And so I think back to all those things. I'm like, man, mothering is challenging. And so when I thought about what to say today, I could have said, there's so many things, right? Like, mothering is multifaceted. It touches the most intimate part of a person's soul. And I just had to zoom out and said, what's the point? And when I think about the gift that God has given to us through our children, he's given us a task to raise up these kids in the way that they should go and to teach them about him. And in that task, in the hands of the Father, that's the exact tool he uses to make us more like Jesus also. And so when I think about the hardship of parenting, I realize that there's always two choices that can be taken. Either I experience something hard and I die to myself and I experience life in Christ to a greater measure. The fruit of the Spirit becomes more evident in me. I'm filled with the joy of the presence of the Lord in the difficulty. Or I can reject that process of dying to self. I can cling to my flesh, my rights. In that moment, the plans that I had that were probably good plans. And I can then in me produce bitterness, resentment. And if left unchecked, the very relationship that God has given through these gifts become the enemy. They're my problems. They're no longer a gift to me. And so this reality happens day in and day out. The option is presented day in and day out every time something happens. So I'm going to give you an example, one that happens all the time at my house. Okay, so let's say I'm having a particularly good morning. I make all the right decisions, the night before, because really the day starts the evening of, right? So I made the right choice of going to bed early, and so I got up early, and I was able to be in my word, and I have my head in the right space, and then I'm very present with my kids as I homeschool them. Somehow the priorities, the multitasking is done just right. The dishes are done, but no one's neglected. I'm sitting on the couch cuddling with my littles while still teaching math, and, you know, this is just happening with joy, and not perfection, mind you. There's plenty of squabbles, but I'm in the right space to handle those squabbles with peace and with patience and with kindness, right? So it's not perfection, it's just the being in the right place, because I'm abiding in Christ in those moments, right? And then lunch comes, and I get excited, because after lunch is nap time. And nap time in my home, whether or not they're still sleeping, it is nap time. It's quiet time. So whether they're doing Legos, reading, or sleeping, that's mommy's time. And I get excited for it. And I know that I bought chocolate from Aldi. And I know I have a book I rented. And it's waiting for me. And so I get pretty excited. And I go through the lunch. And I'm getting, you know, okay, it's time to go to bed. Time to, you know, and I have to work really hard not to, like, become impatient at that point, because it's so close. It's so close. And then I sit down with my chocolate and my book. Someone walked too close to the Legos. The other person screams. The baby wakes up. Or maybe something else traumatic happens. And this is no longer my time. I have to deal with it. And I in that moment have an option. And I will tell you, sometimes these thoughts flit through so quickly in my head. You know, I gave you my best. I was present all day. You had me and all of me. I just want 1 hour. 1 hour. And I can, in that moment, do one of two things. First, pause, go before the Lord, and then have the ability to still do the right thing. You know, maybe disciplining happens. Like, having that hour, I want to say, that hour, that's not a problem. That's a good thing. Chocolate's a good thing. And then, but in the midst of that being taken, in the midst of that plan being changed, it's how I respond to it that really matters. And in that moment, all of a sudden, these little gifts God gave me, that I had all these precious little moments with them earlier in the day, it can so quickly change. And they are the enemy. They are keeping me from what I really want. And that is the danger. And so you might be thinking at this point, Rebecca, this is a terrible Mother's Day talk. And I'd say, what is it? Because how often, whether you're a mother or not, do we have opportunities to press into what the Lord has given us, realizing that the very things that he often blesses us with is the very thing he uses to make us more like him. If we submit, if we die, we die to ourselves, we experience greater life, greater joy, greater freedom. But I've seen over time, you know, I've only been a mother 10 years, but that's long enough to brush up to realize that if left unchecked, the fruit of that is a broken relationship with the very gift that God has given us. And that, you know, what happens if I make the wrong choice and I go out there and I'm like all snappy with them and a little bit too rough and I'm, you know, too sharp and I'm like, oh, you guys, and I'm blaming them. Like, yeah, I've just ruined my chance to do the very task that he set before me, which is to disciple them. Besides directly teaching them the word of the Lord, one of the best ways to disciple our kids is to model. So even in my mistake, God is so good. There's mercy in all of it. Even modeling how to follow through with repentance, how to follow through with confession of what specifically I did that hurt them. Like, he made it so easy to do the right thing by dying, and he even made it possible to do the right thing when we actually did the wrong thing. And so I just reflect on that, and I think that is the gift that as a mother I realize this Mother's Day that I want to bring to your attention as moms who possibly have young kids in the home. I see you. I know it's hard. God knows it's hard. But see those hardships, those thwarted plans as an opportunity to be more like Christ. And when you mess up, to just press in with the process of repentance and confession, and still you're more like Christ. And it's in that we are really discipling and getting a chance to do what God gave us in the first place, which was to disciple these kids. So for those who are not moms, what do you hear? This totally 100% applies to you. Because whether it's maybe not kids, but maybe it's coworkers, family, friends, health, there's so many things that in the hands of the Lord he wants to use in order to make you more like himself. But I hope that also what you hear is just the acknowledgement that it is really hard when the thing that is the Lord, like, shaping us, lives with us and doesn't leave. They're always there. There's always the opportunity to, like, hug this cute kid that all of a sudden feels like a sword in the hands of God, and you're like, this is so sharp. And the Lord's doing all the things in us, right? So I just ask that you will pray for us as mothers, that you will pray that we will have the humility to do the right thing, even when we've done initially the wrong thing, that we will have the wisdom to press in, to have the ability to prioritize well, so we have the right headspace in the start of the day to see these gifts as they are, even in their sinful little selves. You know, like, they are still gifts to us, but with a mission attached to it. And that can only be done as we press into them, knowing they're the exact thing God is using in order to shape us. So then we're equipped to do the mission. And it's just this cycle that the Lord has created in parenting. So yes, please pray for us. And mothers, press in, press through. And I pray that, you know, as I end this, that everything that God has started will come to fruition. Happy Mother's Day.
My instructions today is that I have 800 words or 10 minutes to share, whichever comes first. And I've never understood it. I said to Ethel, that's like being on a walk, in the middle of the walk, and you reach your daily goal of steps, and you tell him to go and get the car. So, I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone, and the only one that, I'm the only one who doesn't want to borrow tomorrow's steps today. I'm very excited to share Christy's adoption story. And for that, I'm going to start at the very beginning. Ethel and I were made for each other. Before we left, or before we met, I had paperwork filled out and was on my way to London to do a master's in midwifery. But a week after we met, we were walking hand in hand along the beachfront, and he asked me what my future plans were. I said, last week I was going to London. This week, I don't know. We met in the middle of October 1995. We were engaged the end of November and married in March. We have an incredible relationship in marriage. God has tested us many times during our 30 years of marriage, but he has also blessed us well beyond measure. From the start, we knew we wanted children. After several years, like 6 years of trying, and a number of very painful, very empty Mother's Days, we turned to the fertility specialist and went through the usual testing procedures, shots, etc. Still no success. By 2001, we were desperate for a baby. Everyone we knew either had a baby or was pregnant. We had spoken briefly about adoption and had decided that we weren't ready to go that route yet. Then we were sitting at the fire on a camping trip, and Ethel brought up adoption again. And we decided at that point to seriously pray, hand out our profiles and pray for a private adoption. In December 2001, we were back in the fertility clinic. We were devastated to hear that we weren't good candidates for in vitro. They said we couldn't do that. We were told that the only option was a hysterectomy, and that without it, I had a danger of sepsis and death. Every time I heard a Christmas carol or saw a baby or a pregnant woman, I cried. Then Twyla Paris came to town. She's always been my favorite Christian artist, and I had every album that she's ever made except for her Lullaby album. And she shared during the concert how she and her husband had also been struggling. And then she showed a picture of her daughter up on screen that had been born before. So after the concert, I asked for her autograph. I thanked her for her testimony and told her that we were struggling with similar issues. I also told her that I had bought the lullaby album in faith. She stood up and gave me a hug, telling me that God had a perfect future for us and just to be patient. Ethel was standing nearby and got a picture. We decided to continue with life, and I refused to have the hysterectomy until God told us clearly that it was time. We looked at various adoption agencies, and all were beyond our limited financial reach. We handed out our family profiles and prayed for a private adoption. I was climbing into the shower one morning in April when the phone rang. I saw on caller ID it was the hospital where I worked, so I didn't answer. I didn't want to work an extra shift. I can still remember sitting there, dripping wet and covered with a towel, when I listened to the voicemail and hearing that a baby girl had been born at 6:17 and needed a family. I immediately called Ethel, pulling him from a meeting. I told him that we might have a baby girl. He said, "Well, that's wonderful. When's she due? November? December?" I said, "No." There was just silence as I said, "No, she's been born already. She's waiting to meet us." He was delighted. And just the stunned silence when I told him. Ethel hung up and called his sister to tell her the great news, and I called my best friend. She was in a meeting, and I left her two voicemails in 5 minutes. Ethel called back to say that his sister Wendy was very excited and was willing to watch our baby for the 3 days a week that I had to work. What an immediate answer to prayer. When my best friend called back, I was crying, and before I could even tell her what had happened, she asked, "Have you got a baby?" Beth said she could just hear it in my voice. I told her that I didn't know if it would work out. She told me not to worry. This baby was a gift from God. Only He could work everything out. The news spread quickly, and within minutes, the phone started ringing. People in our church and in our Sunday school class bringing emergency baby supplies. That afternoon, we drove down to the hospital to meet her. And then driving there, Ethel says to me, "How are you feeling? How should I be feeling?" I said I didn't know. I was just as excited as I was scared. We got to hold our brand new baby girl before she was 12 hours old. When I finally handed her over to Ethel, she immediately turned her head and nestled into his chest and tried to snuggle closer. I started crying when I saw the instantaneous love in his eyes and the immediate reflection of the Father heart of God in that moment. We brought our Christy Grace home with us on Saturday. I had put on my makeup at least twice by the time we got home. Pulling into the driveway, we saw that friends had decorated the mailbox and our front door, and I started crying again. Monday afternoon, my neighbor called me and said she had something to show me. When I came out of her door 20 minutes later, the road outside the house was filled with cars, and the house was crowded with people for an emergency baby shower. The best part of the story for me was the fact that when I bought Twilight Paris's lullaby album, Christy had already been conceived. She'd been chosen specifically for us, and Tyler was right. We just had to be patient. I typed out two of my favorite lullabies from her album and put them in Christy's scrapbook, as well as the picture of me and Tyler. I had my hysterectomy when Christy was 3 months old, and on condition that I could hold her just after the surgery. This broke all the rules, but the surgical team allowed it. They allowed Ethel to bring her and lay her on my chest as I woke up and recovered. Christy has just celebrated her 24th birthday in April, marking the 24th anniversary of her miraculous adoption story. She, like Joshua, will always be a special gift to us. If you're like me and are hurting this Mother's Day with the yearning to become a mother, God sees you and He hears you. Your story may not play out like ours has, but according to Psalm 145, verse 13b, God is faithful to His promises and loving towards all He has made. Never underestimate the impact that you can have on so many when you're willing to enter the realm of spiritual motherhood. and take on the role of mentoring our next generation. Lisa will now share more on spiritual motherhood.
Thank you, Debbie. Isn't that sweet? Makes me want to adopt somebody, but I think I'm too old. Good to be here. For those who are wondering who I am, I'm Eric Spady's wife, and yes, he has left again. He's on a plane right now. So when I think of motherhood, what was interesting for me was the Lord gave me a call to be a spiritual mother before I was a mother. So I was asking him, how do I do that? You know, I was in my early 20s, and people I was over were just a few years younger than me. And he gave me Philippians 2, talked about laying down my life and serving and listening, paying attention to people and what they were saying and what they were needing, just being there for them. I thought it was interesting he didn't tell me to tell people what to do. It was just to come alongside and support them, to encourage. When I had kids, the rules changed a little bit, and I can certainly empathize with what was said earlier about it was way harder than I ever expected, but way more fun. I had had a tired mother. I expected it to be hard work. I expected it to be very demanding. What I didn't expect was it to be fun. I remember having a baby and going, no one told me this part, you know. And so for me, it was a real point of joy in my life, even though I was tired all the time and didn't sleep through the night for years. So it's amazing how your personality changes when you get your first full night's sleep from years. You're like, life is good. The colors are brighter. The sun is brighter. I have energy. What is this magic? So sleep is everything. And when I meet young mothers, the first things I say to them is, how are you sleeping? How much sleep are you getting? Because your personality really changes when you don't get enough sleep. And I was always having to apologize to the kids for things that happened when I didn't get enough sleep. Very humbling, but a great growth experience. But what I really want to share about is the transition of understanding God's heart through being a mother. I think one of the most precious things, and I don't think this is unique to mothers, but for me it happened when I became a mom, was understanding God's heart for me. I was not somebody who I didn't consider myself maternal. I didn't want to have kids ahead of time. I really debated even having kids, and the Lord made the decision for us. So we were a little bit in shock, like, oh, okay, because we were about to go to the mission field, and we were going to be going to the training pregnant, and we had to call and say, is it still okay we come? The baby was due a month after the training ended, and the training was in Sweden. So they're like, sure, come on over. I was like, okay, you're relaxed, you know, way more relaxed than I am about this, but okay. And we ended up not returning home to have the baby. We stayed in Sweden and had the baby there, which was a whole nother step of faith because we had it all set up to go home and have the baby with our families. So it was always tasted of sacrifice and profound grace. There was always the sacrifice first and then the profound grace. And one of the biggest moments was when we were taking our first outreach team from Sweden to Portugal, and the bus was going to be very full. It was several days of all of us riding together. And when we got there, we'd be living on a Bible school base, you know, in their barracks and stuff, and be doing street evangelism. And I was really nervous taking my four-month-old baby in the middle of winter all the way to Portugal on a bus with all those other people and germs. And I was terrified something was going to happen that I couldn't fix. We didn't have a ton of money. We would have to rely on the medical system there. That scared me. And I remember going, really praying about it one day and just saying, I'm not sure I can do this, Lord. And you know, how come you're asking me to do this? And he was like, it'll be okay, I've got you. And then I was like, but you don't understand, you're not a mom. Okay, you could hear a pin drop at that moment, and I felt a shudder go through the room, and I felt myself stepping back physically going, uh-oh, I think Dad's mad, you know? It was my first spiritual spanking where I realized I had said something he considered really bad. And it didn't dawn on me that he considered himself a mother. I thought it was kind of a unique thing, and God being Father God didn't really get it. And, you know, somehow this was something unique to mothers. And he's like, where do you think your mother love came from? And I was like, oh, with the hormones? You know, like, is it just the hormones that kick in and then you're really motivated? He's like, no, it came from me. I shared my heart with you. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, where all love comes from is my heart. I am the well of love that everybody else draws from. There is no other love in the universe than mine. It starts with me. And he says, you felt a little bit and it overwhelmed you. That's just a tiny bit of my heart. You have no idea the depth, the breadth of my love. And you've just questioned and implied that yours is greater than mine. So, you know, I was on my knees, you know, apologizing profusely and realizing there was something really big I didn't understand. That he is father and mother to us. And I started looking at how God talks about himself in the Bible, how he reveals himself, the scriptures where he says, this is who I am. And they started to paint a picture of an ideal mother in my mind, of being kind and loyal and compassionate, forgiving, long-suffering, patient. It was like, oh, that's a perfect mom, you know, also strong, you know, and justice-oriented. But it was so much kindness. And he said, how do you see me? I said, well, not that. That's not how I see you. Because I saw based on what I had experienced, which my mom was wonderful in some ways and not at all in others. She did some things really, really well, and people envied my relationship with her. And yet there was other ways that I was left empty. And that is normal. Mothers can only give so much, and there are empty places after they've given all they have. And that is normal. And that is what God can fill. But I had to see him as the source of all that love, to know that it was there for me to receive the mother heart of God. That when I was loving somebody else as a spiritual mom, when I was loving my kids as a mother, it was his love that was flowing through me that made it possible. My love ran out, you know, with my capacity. When my capacity was low and I was exhausted, my love ran dry. I couldn't be everything everybody needed. I couldn't do and say everything the right way. I made mistakes and I had to apologize. I came up short, but I would pray that God would fill in the gaps. And I prayed this almost daily over my children. Lord, fill in the gaps. Fill in the gaps of what I can't do, what Eric can't do. Fill in the gaps. Be their spiritual father and mother. Let them know how much they're loved. And that was one of the best things I could have prayed, because you can be loved and not know you're loved. And that's where many of us are with the Lord. We are loved with a desperation we don't understand. We are loved to an extent where the cross was an easy choice for Jesus. It's not a fun choice. It wasn't easy to do. But I don't think he hesitated to make that choice, because we are the joy set before him. And it was easy for him to give us that love that was overflowing out of his heart. But the feeling of being loved is different. Being able to receive the love is different. And that's about self-worth. Am I worthy of this love? And those of us who see our mistakes on a daily basis, and if you're not a narcissist, then you do see your mistakes, right? You see what you're doing wrong. You see what you could have done better. You feel bad. We get tired of feeling bad, so sometimes we ignore it, but we feel like we could do more, be more, right? And that makes us feel unlovable, unworthy. And that is the spiritual battle that we fight on a daily basis, is to choose to believe God's love is greater than my unworthiness. And when I am mothering people these days, and today it's mostly through counseling. When I started counseling, the Lord said, I've already trained you in the most important skills. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're a mom. You had to learn how to listen. You had to learn how to listen to somebody else's needs over yours. You had to give when you didn't want to give. You had to be patient. You had to be kind. That has all been training you. You know, the main thing I focus on when I'm counseling, helping them to receive love that's there waiting for them. Helping them to get rid of the unworthiness, rid of the false guilt. Bring it to the cross. Know it's over. You're done. Get up and go back to his arms. Because you're allowed and he's waiting. He's waiting for you. And there is so much more love for you than you will ever take in a lifetime. And it becomes a joy to find out how much can you carry? How much can you receive today? How many times can you see him working in your life today, being with you and loving you through it? Yeah? So I'd like to bless you. Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts to receive your love in a new way, that you would let us have you as our mother and our father, that you would fill in the gaps that have been left behind by others who did their best, but we need more. Lord, would you fill up those holes? Will you take away the sense of emptiness? And will you bring us to the place where we can feel your love? We can experience your love, and we can live in your love. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Rebecca and Debbie and Lisa. Just so appreciate each of you. Now, I have a 40-minute sermon prepared. No, I'm kidding. I'm just going to share something very briefly, just sharing and wrapping up. But how many of you had perfect moms? I know some of you have to raise your hands now, right? But the reality is, and as we've heard this morning, no one's perfect, right? No one is perfect. We make mistakes. And, you know, what my sister once revealed this to me, that when we were discussing my mother in a time when she was, in our opinion, was behaving irrationally. She was disciplining us, and we just thought she was unhinged. And she said, well, do you know this is the first time she's been a mom? And, you know, I was the fourth child, but I was the first Athel that my mother had ever raised. Every one of us as parents understand this is like, you know, you can read all the books, but you get one shot at it. You may have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 13 children, but each one is different, and you get to parent that child individually for the first time. And we all fail. But you know, in Deuteronomy 5:16, you know the Ten Commandments, but in Deuteronomy 5:16, it's the only commandment that comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. And here's the promise, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord is giving you. So that's a commandment from the Lord to honor our father and our mother. Jesus honored his mother. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and we read this frequently in John 19, and we know it through the crucifixion, but I don't think we fully grasp what was happening. Jesus on the cross was experiencing excruciating suffering. You know, we know the physical suffering that he was experiencing, that, you know, he was suffering from being beaten almost to death, the asphyxiation, the loss of blood, the pain that he was experiencing, and then also the knowing that any moment now, he's going to feel and experience the weight of the wrath of God because of the sins of man and the separation from the Father that Jesus was about to experience. And in that moment, Jesus honored his mother. In John 19, we read, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home, and he cared for her, and he took care of Mary." John took care of Mary from that moment on. But can you imagine that? If you and I mean, none of us have been on a cross, and none of us have been through the kind of suffering that Jesus went through, and none of us will ever know the suffering. But in that moment of suffering, he didn't think of himself. He honored his mother. He was teaching the other disciples. He was teaching the crowd. He was teaching us. I think this is what it means to honor your mother. When times are tough, when it's hard, when it's excruciatingly painful, honor your mother. And now many of you are sitting and saying, "But you don't know my mother." Right? Yes, the Lord does know that. He knows every one of our mothers. And they're imperfect. And some of them have failed. Some of them have done bad things. But it doesn't change the commandment. It doesn't change the word of God. We're to honor our mothers. So how does that look in life? And some of you, your mothers have passed away. But we honor them with how we speak about them. We honor them with how we remember them to other people. But the most important thing also in honoring our mothers is to pray for them and look for opportunities to bless them. And I just want to challenge you with that today. You know, we don't get the excuse of honoring our mothers because, well, they didn't do this, that, and the next thing. No, it's a commandment from the Lord to honor them. It doesn't mean to say we have to agree with everything that they do. It doesn't mean to say we have to like everything that they do. But we're called to honor them. And so we can pray and ask the Lord, what does that look like? How do we honor our mothers? And today I want to challenge you. Go home and, if you can, call your mother. If she's here with you, but call her, bless her, pray for her, and just say, "I'm honoring you. I thank you for being my mother." And to honor your mother that has already passed away is to speak kindly of her to others around you. Now, sometimes that's hard to do. It's very hard to do. But if it's a commandment from God, he gives us the power to do it. He gives us the ability to do it. As Lisa was sharing, all love comes from God. God is love. He gives us the love to love others. And so to be able to do that, it is a supernatural transaction that has to take place. But some of us need a miracle to honor our parents, to honor our mothers. But I believe God will honor that prayer. So I want to challenge you today to pray that the Lord would give you the strength to honor your mother and to honor the spiritual moms in your life. Those that have poured into your life, those that have spoken words of truth in your life, come alongside you. Honor those spiritual moms. Because they are mothers, as Debbie was sharing, that are spiritual moms, but they haven't given birth to a child. But doesn't make them any less worthy of honor because they pour into lives. They raise the next generation. And also, it's important. We have teachers that we are honoring and appreciating today. These are the spiritual moms to your children in those kids' church classrooms. So just honor them and bless them today, if you can in any way. So as the worship team comes up to close, I just want to challenge you today. We're just going to wrap up with a song, but I want you to pray for the moms in the room. Encourage them, bless them. And if it's your mom, pray for them. Children, if you're here with your parent, pray for them, and then commit to doing that this week. And not just this week, but moving forward as well. So let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this day when we can honor the mothers in our lives. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, just the way that you've orchestrated our lives, and in an imperfect way, but The purpose is to bring you glory. The purpose is to refine us, to change us, to transform us into your image. But Lord, I pray that today you would bless the mothers in this room. Bless the spiritual mothers. Bless those that are pouring into the next generation in love, compassion, with patience and kindness. And Lord, that you would be glorified in and through the process. We pray this in Jesus' name.